Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 25th of October, recording at 9:14 p.m. And yes, it's still British summertime, but not for much longer. Now, first the highlights here on another interesting day. The Asian stock markets were mostly firm, although China was an exception, and that's important. And one of the better performances was Thailand, which had been drifting for a number of days, which had quite a good upward dynamic here today. And the European stock markets put in a pretty firm performance, FTSE index closing up 94, that's 1.45% for instance. And a few others of the Europeans had similar gains. Wall Street, interestingly, opened up, and then shortly after the European markets closed, went down quite sharply. It was down, well, it was down over 100 points on the Dow at one stage. Recovered the whole thing, so Wall Street's doing its best to avoid further shrinkage in here, unlike the dollar. And then Wall Street just eased a fraction right on the close, but the Dow was only down 3. NASDAQ was a little bit weaker in here today, although way off its lows, but the NASDAQ had been showing relative strength previously. In currencies, I've mentioned that the dollar was weak. It's right back on its low, 77.265 on the dollar index. And that's a euro at 143.17 and sterling at 205 and a bit. And the Antipodean currencies were pretty firm in here today as well. Precious metals had a pretty good day. Gold bullion, as I speak, is at 769.20. That's right near the highs of this move. Ditto platinum in here, up another 10 today. Silver rebounded quite strongly. Silver's been underperforming for a while, although the December contract could not maintain a break above $14, not yet, at any rate. And palladium joined the party in here today as well. So firm sector all around. All the industrial metals were up as well. And so steady performance there. Grains a bit mixed. Wheat down a little bit. Corn and particularly soybeans were, well, no, it's in percentage terms, corn actually was the better gainer on the upside. And crude oil storming, absolutely storming, 90.39. So upper dynamic in here. And that's up 3.27 on the day. Haven't seen any news on that. It's been a really busy day for me with my big presentation. You'll be able to read about that. But I'm glad to be back here and covering the market. So what's going on here? Well, overall, we have nervous conditions in stock markets, as will not have escaped your attention. And that's hardly surprising because we had that blitzing good rally by stock markets, particularly the Fuller Money long-term investment themes, resources shares, and the Asian emerging markets, led by India. We had spectacular gains off those August lows, and those markets surged well above moving averages. Once again, 200-day moving averages is a trend smoothing device, and indicated scope for some regression in the form of a pullback and sideways ranging. I said I didn't think we'd see anything much worse than a consolidation. Now, the Wall Street and also the European markets had, for the most part, reasonably good rallies. but very few of those European markets have been able to push through into new high ground for the year and hold it. So they remain range bound, and it's hardly surprising because of the weakness of banks. Now, the US banks have been the weakest of all, and they were down again here today. So that really, really is a concern. And the only thing that's lifted Wall Street, frankly, is the weak dollar. And you put these currencies, I beg your pardon, you put these indices, these US indices, up in stronger currencies, and the performance just melts away. You can see all that in the library, of course, and you can see some of it on a presentation, a chart slide presentation that I produced for the Nordic Association of Electricity Traders. Now, I think we'll get more of this nervousness. I have often described from an investment standpoint, I have disagreed with conventional thinking, not for the first time. I've been disagreeing with it for a very, very long time. I have resolutely maintained that we were in a commodity supercycle and that the resources shares should be maintained, should be held. And which is what I've done, as you know, in my investment portfolio. Yet I've received far more reports and services saying and seen comments from broking firms saying that one should sell the resources. And people continually do this, and it is an astonishingly good fundamental story and remains a terrific technical story as well. Ditto, I feel, the emerging markets led by Asia. Some of the other emerging markets have had even better performances, but I've maintained throughout that the Asian ones are less risky. Now, perceptions still, when you mention investing in India, for instance, let alone China, people scream risk, 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 risk. Well, China's valuations are definitely bubbling along. I would not describe India that way. But the GDP growth, the corporate profits growth, the strength of the currencies, that's what it's all about, folks. And yet, the general consensus view out there in the marketplace is that these are risk assets. Well, if you want risk, look at Wall Street and those banks. And the European banks aren't all that hot either. And the Japanese banks are pretty deplorable as well. And that's a major drag on those markets. And the European markets that are doing best are resources plays, Norway, for instance, and the East European emerging markets where there's a very little supply there, and those have been momentum plays for really quite a long time. They'll remain momentum plays until the next bear market, which I don't think is right around the corner. That's how many times has the next bear market been forecast over the last few years? Not by Fuller Money, fortunately, but you've heard plenty of it as long ago as last July, August, and September. Plenty of calls that we had entered a bear market. Now, I've talked about it more in terms of the wobbly West versus the enterprising East. As far as the Fuller Money long-term investment themes are concerned, resources, the emerging markets led by developing Asia, global infrastructure plays, which are related to those, so the resources themes and the global infrastructure story, those tie in together because as China and India boom, they import more resources from countries as far away as Australia and Brazil, Canada, and those markets do very well. And the Brazilian economy, for instance, Australia has been doing mighty well, as has Canada, but the Brazilian economy booms, so that triggers off infrastructure development there, and a greater consumer market there, so they import, or they require more resources, rather, and it all feeds on itself. And I think it will continue to do so in here. Whereas in the West, we have the subprime contagion affecting Europe and particularly the United States, although we've had some pretty dramatic incidents here, not least the first run on a UK bank in over a century, as you know, with Northern Rock. That was largely because the Bank of England bungled that show. And the Japanese banks suggest to me that they're full of toxic waste in the form of some of the subprime debt. But if you look at the Indian banks, if you look at the Chinese banks, these are doing extremely well. Australian banks remain in overall upward trends, although underperforming the rest of the market. But that's not a problem as long as they're still in an overall upward trend. So that's the divergence that we have, and I'm mightily relieved that my portfolio is on the right side of that divergence. Now, what about gold and these precious metals? Well, I think I maintain that we've had very important breakouts, or the breakouts that have occurred, led by platinum and gold. And that this is following a long medium-term consolidation, and these markets are going higher. Investors will be playing it through the shares and perhaps the bullion funds. And I have some of the shares in my investment portfolio. It's quite a significant weighting, actually. And traders, and I have a trading account, as you know, and I play all four of those precious metals in those trading accounts. I think they'll stay in form for a while longer, and significantly they are appreciating. Gold is appreciating against all currencies. That is very, very important, as I've so often emphasized. Crude oil. We've just seen another, what looked like, has looked all along like just another little step in its bull run. I'm hoping that oil doesn't accelerate on the upside. If it accelerates on the upside, that will cause problems for other markets. But the best trends do accelerate from time to time. If oil accelerates higher, you know what will happen. That will be an ending. It will be dramatic on the upside while it's doing it. It will cause it'll go on to the front pages of newspapers, and there will be draconian forecasts. Various people will quake, and then it'll come down sharply and go into another medium-term consolidation. But that hasn't happened so far. The advance has been a ranging one, sort of a staircase step sequence, if you look at that on a daily or weekly chart. So again, these resources themes still very much in overall bull trends. Government bonds, I think they've seen the best of the rally by far. Price is a little bit easier in here today, I note. The agricultural commodities, well, there's been an awful lot of rhetoric. Well, there's been much more rhetoric than there has been performance by the sector overall. It's not doing badly, but it's pretty much underperforming precious metals at the moment, and also the industrial metals. But what we know, and what I've maintained for at least the last five, 6 years, is that this is very much a commodity supercycle. It will be punctuated by some lengthy medium-term corrections, which can run up to a couple of years following big accelerations on the upside, but this is all occurring within a secular bull market driven by the synchronized global economic recovery, which includes far more countries, huge population countries like China and India that weren't even on the radar in terms of global economic performance over a decade ago. And it's going to continue for a very long time. And there's also the supply and elasticity problem, favorite Fuller Money theme. Supply and elasticity meets rising demand. Okay, I look forward to Friday and doing a long-term big picture audio tomorrow evening. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you. Apologies for the slightly scratchy voice. I've been doing a lot of talking today.